Good morning to you. I'm Veronica Rickard, and I'm sitting in all this week for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you along. This hour, the strange power of nicknames. Mitt Romney, turns out, was born Willard. Jimmy Carter was born James. Bill Clinton, an exception, is now ditching his nickname by going by William Jefferson Clinton. But the great nicknames do live on, like Magic Johnson, Honest Abe, Teddy Roosevelt. Our guest this hour was known as Davy, Davo, Scott, and Lloyd. His article, Call Me Lloyd, The Strange Power of Nicknames, appears in the February anniversary issue of The New Yorker. I hope you'll join in the conversation this hour. We'd love to hear your family nicknames and nicknames for your friends, how they got their nicknames, and whether or not they've stuck around. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234, and you can maybe tell us what your favorite nicknames from the historical canon are as well. Our guest today is David Owen. He is a staff writer at The New Yorker, has been since 1991. His article, Call Me Lloyd, was in the February anniversary issue. David Owen, or maybe I should be saying Lloyd Owen, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Sure, hi.
Tell us about this piece you wrote for The New Yorker. What made you want to write about nicknames?
Well, let's see. I don't exactly know. I started... now that I'm in my 50s, I started, I guess, thinking back over my life, and I was just thinking about what people had called me at various times, and nicknames that friends had had, and it sort of seemed like a theme by which I could organize my recollections of my own life. So there are lots of, most of the first nicknames that I thought about were the nicknames of teachers. I had my seventh grade math teacher we called Wheezer. My father had had him 30 years before when his nickname was Tars, short for Tarzan, and just the evolution from Tarzan to Wheezer is what happens to everybody. He was the one who gave me my nickname. My father's name was Lloyd, and he sometimes got confused about which of us was which, and he would call me Lloyd, and my friends thought that was funny, and they started calling me Lloyd.
Does anybody still call you Lloyd?
Just a few friends from high school, two or three. Nobody in my current life even knows that I was called that. I guess until this week when the magazine came out. If they read about it in The New Yorker, maybe now they'll start calling me Lloyd.
I think Lloyd is about to have a resurgence. Yeah. Do you miss the nickname, the power of the nicknames? It seems like nicknames used to sort of fill up every crevice of your daily life, from your friends to your family. Do you miss that?
Well, they still do. I think all my golf buddies, for some reason, use diminutive. So it's all middle-aged men. We're all Davy, Joey, Freddy, things like that. And I don't know. That seems sort of unusual. I don't know anybody else who does that. Then there are a few others. There's one of my friends is named Brendan, and he's called Barney by everyone. And the reason it turns out is that when he first went to work for the power company, he's now retired, people thought he was so innocent and ignorant that they thought he was fresh from the barn, and they called him Barney. So lots of times nicknames have a sort of peculiar etymology, and they're hard to trace back. I had a teacher in high school who we called, his real name was Schoonover, and he was called Dog, and Dog was really a nickname for his previous nickname, which was Schoondog, and I don't even know where that came from. But they sometimes there's a missing step that you don't realize where the nickname began and where it ended up.
There was another teacher you had who earned the moniker Ashcan. There's an interesting story behind that. Can you tell us about him?
Yeah, he was a young English teacher. He looked like a young English teacher. He wore a tweed jacket and smoked a pipe. And Ashcan sounded like his last name. That was why we called him Ashcan. But he was always smoking. That was back in the days when teachers could smoke in class, and pipes anyway. And he one day stuffed his lit pipe into his jacket pocket on top of a book of matches and set his jacket on fire. And another time he was leaning back too far in his chair and the leg slid out from under and he fell over on his back and was trapped between the rear wall of the classroom and his desk, and we had to extricate him from it.
You gotta love those stories. And the stories behind them are half of what's interesting about him. It wouldn't be the same if he was Mr. So-and-so, would it?
No, I don't think so. I think even if you have, even if you're a teacher, even if you have an unflattering nickname, you'd rather have a nickname than not. The teachers, the memorable ones, or the ones who made an impression on the students, or the ones who ended up with nicknames. They're sort of the faceless ones who just went through their careers as Mr. Smith or Mr. Jones. I don't think they were probably as memorable as the ones that you remember as, Wheezer or Schutz or the names that they had. Schutz was my seventh grade science teacher. He had a number of nicknames. We called him Fleet, which was his middle name. We called him Schutz, which was short for parachute pants, because he wore these tremendous billowy gray flannel trousers that he pulled almost all the way up to his neck. And so he's sort of stuck in the mind.
Well, what do you think it is about nicknames? Why do we like giving them, and what makes them sort of more real to us than a person's real name?
Well, I guess when you're born, you're sort of you're named before anybody really knows who you are, and you don't have any say in the choice. And so I think that a nickname can seem not only to the people around you, but even to you, like a better reflection of who you really are. When my wife went to camp when she was a kid, she desperately wanted a nickname, and decided that going to camp would be give her the opportunity to implement a new identity for herself. And she wanted to be called Twink. her real name is Anne, but nobody called her Twink.
See, sometimes they don't stick.
No, it's tough. I managed to acquire a nickname at camp. I had been called Dodo. My initials are D-O-D-O. Our D.O., but I had a friend when I was a child who had a great nickname. His nickname was Bumpy McComber, and he called me Dodo, just for my initials. And when I went to camp for the first time, the summer after fourth grade, my counselor, whose nickname was Boogie, asked me if I had a nickname, and thinking of Dodo, I said I did, and that it was Dum Dum, and I think that just popped into my head. I don't think I had planned that, but it turned out to be a good move. Having a sort of kind of self-deprecating nickname, I think, makes people like you if you have if you seem to be doing the opposite of putting on airs and. So I think that was probably, the summer after fourth grade was probably the pinnacle of my popularity with girls, and maybe with everyone. Being Dum Dum was part of that.
Well, I have to say, you have a sympathetic reader in me. I'll make a confession. My family is completely obsessed with nicknames. Hardly anybody goes by their real name. My husband, whose name is Benson, goes by Bendorf, Boswell, some others. My mother is S. Our son is Budgie Boo. I mean, we agonized over what to name him, and he's still 2 years later, he's Budgie Boo. And the interesting thing is, we love it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people seem to think that it's undignified, and they just don't get why we're so into nicknames.
Yeah, there's something about it. It's fun to do. My daughter's name is Laura. When she was little, she had trouble pronouncing her name. She called herself Orda at one point, which we still call her, and Odie, which is sort of a nickname for Orda. And her brother, who had difficulty with her name too, called her Wah for a little while. And so we sometimes still call her Wah.
That's cute.
And when he was very little, it was hard for other people, had a hard time understanding what he was saying, and there was one time when he had said something and nobody was quite sure what it was, and his sister, who's 3 years older, could always seem to know what he had said, and so he turned to her and said, "Wah, what me say?" and asking for his own translation.
My son does that too. Well, what do you think it is though about why some people there are nickname people and there are people who are really not nickname people. What do you think the difference is?
No, it's true. There are people who insist on, there are people whose name is Stephen who are not Steve. They are Stephen.
Right.
And will correct you if you make a mistake of shortening it anyway. And I don't know what that is. I guess it's not that they, I think we all take our names personally, and there are different ways of expressing it. Sometimes you do that by renaming yourself or being happy to be renamed, and other times you do it by insisting on a particular version of your name. My grandmother was Nellie when she was born, and she hated being Nellie. And at some time during her childhood, when she was 10 or so, she scratched out Nellie on her birth certificate and wrote in Mary Helen, which was the name she wanted for herself, and that's what she was for the remaining 85 years of her life. So,
that's interesting. So, did Mary Helen stick then for her? She was able to cast off Nellie.
Completely did, but Nellie was gone from the early 1900s on for the rest of her life. That doesn't always work for people. You can't always control what other people call you. But then sometimes, I don't think I have a strong preference for, I'm David. I'm happy to be called Dave. My mother calls me Dave. But I typically introduce myself as David, and I realized I was interviewing someone who goes by Dave. And so I called him up and said, hi, I left a message, Dave, this is David. And then I thought, oh my God, does that sound snobbish, or does it sound as though I think I'm making an important distinction, or would it, if I had said, hi, Dave, this is Dave, would it have been condescending, or,
it's a little surrealist, maybe.
Yeah, right. I was probably overthinking it, but there are these issues when you have these different names. But my kids have always called me Dave. When my daughter was about, 2 years old, she played around with calling my wife and me by our first names, called us Ann and Dave. And my wife didn't like it at all and objected and said she wanted to be Mommy. And she said, told our daughter, I think that people ought to be called what they want to be called. And our daughter, whose name is Laura, said that in that case she would like to be called Megan. And so they had sort of a standoff for a while. But I liked being called Dave by toddlers. And so my kids and all their friends when they were little called me Dave.
Still call you Dave?
They still do. There's a couple of my son's friends who we met later in life who thought it was just sort of indecently informal to address a grown-up by his first name, and had a great deal of trouble doing it. Would laugh when my son called me Dave, but it sounds natural because they've done it for so long. They're both in their 20s now.
Well, my mom's name is Sandy, and she, I decided in rebellion to call her S, and it stuck. And now I sort of wish it hadn't, because I have to explain our relationship. It's not so obvious, and it's kind of like in your piece. You write about how when you have grandchildren, you imagine your wife will be Nani and you'll be Dave, which makes you sound like some kind of gigolo.
So right. Sometimes... an elderly woman and her gigolo. I like that idea. It sort of makes... And she likes it. My wife likes the idea of being called, I guess, Nani, Nanny, or Noni are the ones that she's thinking about. And I think you have to be careful when you acquire the name that your grandchildren use for you, because it tends to be the name that you go out with. My father his friends called him Lloydo for his whole life, and then I called him Dad. But when he became a grandfather, his grandchildren called him Pa. And then, not only his grandchildren, but, I started calling him Pa. We all started calling him Pa. Mm. My mother started calling him Pa. I think it's what tends to happen is your grandparent name tends to take over, even for your spouse, and then sometimes, sometimes for your friends, depending on what it is. So you'd better be sure that you like the name that your grandchildren use for you. My mother initially did not at all like the name that her eldest grandchild used for her, which was Ninny.
Ninny.
She didn't like being called Ninny. And with great effort on her part, she got that changed to Grammy, which is what I even call her now.
We're talking nicknames this hour with David Owen, who is a staff writer at The New Yorker and has been since 1991. His article, Call Me Lloyd, The Strange Power of Nicknames, appears in the February anniversary issue of The New Yorker magazine. We'd love for you to call in this hour and tell us about your family nicknames and nicknames you have for your friends and maybe other nicknames which weren't so kind in their origins. We'd like to hear about them, too, and whether or not they stuck, whether you think nicknames are undignified or whether you think they're a badge of love. You can call us this hour. We'll get to the phones right after this break, but you can reach us at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. I'm Veronica Rickert, in today for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Today is Super Tuesday when voters in 24 states head to the polls. At issue after 4, Ben Marins and his guests recap the primary process and examine how the candidates have run their campaigns. That's At Issue with Ben Marins after 4 o'clock today on Wisconsin Public Radio. Veronica Rickert back with you. I'm in this week for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network, and we're talking nicknames this hour. Kind of looking back over nicknames past and present, whether we like them, whether they've stuck, and whether we wish they hadn't. Our number is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, and we're hoping you'll call up and share your stories about nicknames as well. David Owen is our guest, staff writer for The New Yorker, and the author of several books, including Sheetrock and Shellac, A Thinking Person's Guide to the Art and Science of Home Improvement. His article, Call Me Lloyd, The Strange Power of Nicknames, appears in the February anniversary issue of The New Yorker. And David Owen, let's go ahead and take a call now. This is Jamie in Wausau. Hi, Jamie, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'm called Jamie Girl because I have a best friend who started dating and eventually married a Jamie, and a good friend of ours who she was living with at the time in college actually couldn't keep us straight during conversations, so she dubbed us Jamie Girl and Jamie Boy, and he got to keep Jamie, and I got stuck with Jamie Girl, and I actually love it now, and the lady that dubbed me Jamie Girl has now since passed on, and so it's kind of a nice little memory of her, too, almost every time I get called Jamie Girl.
Do a lot of people call you Jamie Girl?
Yes. Yes. My license plates say Jamie Girl, and all my friends call me Jamie Girl. Their kids call me Jamie Girl. Their parents call me Jamie Girl. So pretty much everybody does.
I think that's one of the best things about a nickname like that is the story that goes along with it. Which is part of the nickname. It's not incidental to it. It's part of your identity.
Well, and that's one of the beautiful things about that story. Jamie Girl has a memory too of the woman who gave her the nickname to carry with you. That's a pretty tangible thing to have. Well, thanks a lot for that call, Jamie. And let's go to Mary in Richland Center. Hey, Mary, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. My family had 6 kids, and we weren't always nice to each other. So it was Ronnie Bonnie, because he was kind of feminine, and Chrissy Pissy, because he was always mean, and Timmy Pimmy, because, well, I think he was just even, and it just rhymed. He was just an even-killed guy. Mary Perry, that's me, and I had a pear body, and they also called me Glop Galora, because I wore too much makeup. And Maddie Picky Patty, well, that explains itself. And Richie Rich, because he would ride around in his banana bike and he'd always find treasures out in the town. That's about it.
Those are good.
Yeah.
That's a lot of kids. Do you still remember? You obviously still remember the nicknames, but
oh, yeah.
Are they still in play?
No. No, not in play anymore. No. Now we call each other different things, but no. I'm still Perry.
They do have kind of a life cycle, and it's probably, I guess, because you yourself change through your life.
Oh,
and
sure. Yeah.
The history of your nicknames is in a way a history of your life. You can kind of each of them tells a story about whatever stage it was. Some people keep them all, through their whole lives. I think some nicknames don't even quite qualify as nicknames because they, you know, I had a friend named, we called Twig. He was always Twig. His real name was Fred, but he had been called Twig since he was little because his father's name was also Fred. When he became a serious lawyer, he began to go by Fred, and that always seemed to me almost like a nickname. It made me laugh to call him Fred because it seemed like something made up rather than like what it really was, which was the name on his birth certificate.
There are those names that seem so formal, it seems like they can't possibly be true when you know the person is something completely different.
Right. Yes, very true. An article I wrote for a different magazine, not for the New Yorker, but for Golf Digest, which I also write for, and a young billionaire whose friends, when he was a young man, called him Thurston Howell, and that was their editorial comment on his vast riches.
Oh, that's a good one too. Let's go on and take a call from Dave in Galesville. I'm sorry. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
This is Dave. Yes, I have a. I was in the service back in the '60s, and the other gentlemen in the service in the Marine Corps were trying to guess my middle name. Of course, it began with an O. It's an unusual middle name, and the closest they could come was Omar. And that name has stuck with me for quite a while, even after the service, and then finally I've outgrown it. And, I guess back in the '60s, Omar Sharif perhaps was, or Omar the tent maker from wherever came around. Even before that, my younger brother, who's now retired, his name was Daniel, and his middle name was Lee. Us brothers gave him a nickname of Limpy Lee. Now, where that came from, I don't know, but it stayed back there. It didn't follow him too far along into life. But then a third brother is younger than me. He's retired also. He adopted a young fella in his teenage years. He helped him out of a drug crisis. His name was Ron. And Ron was a real go-getter. After he got cleaned up and everything, he was just a dynamite person to have around. But he got the nickname of Ron Dog. And we called him Ron Dog. I guess it came from he was such a hard go-getter that he would always fetch and do anything. Nothing was too big. He's in construction now. Doing quite well, self-employed, out of Rochester, Minnesota, Ron Ellison. And we always call him Ron Dog. We've done this for years, and he's a fine young man, but he's not afraid to tackle anything. In fact, now we've been calling him Ron Dog for so long, we often forget his last name. I went to give him a call in Rochester a while back, and I had to call my brother to remind me, what is Ron Dog's last name? I could not get a hold of him, but Ron Dog has stuck with us forever, and he kind of likes that name, but it's a complimentary name for him because he's a hard-charging fella. Definitely a guy to be on your side.
And you, Dave, do you miss being called Omar?
I didn't. It didn't bother me at all. I never did disclose my middle name, which is Orman.
Pretty close then. They got pretty close.
They got awfully close. Yeah, they started from one end of the scale, came very close, and this went on for maybe a year and a half when I was stationed with the same group of people in intelligence, and they kept trying and kept trying, and I figured, well, you're getting closer and closer. Let's see how long we can go with this. And it never occurred. They never got to the real name. As far as I think, I was with that group of people for 2.5 years or so overseas, and during the Vietnam era, And I don't know, it stuck with me for a while afterwards, and I felt it kind of complimentary, I guess. Not to put my dad's first name down, but, you know, I'm proud of his name also. But Omar was the best they could come up with, and they never did learn my name. It was kind of a game in the service that helped us keep the morale up and all that. So,
well, thanks a lot for that call, Omar. We appreciate that. A lot of nicknames there, and obviously Dave has a huge history with nicknames. It seems as though they really become, like you said, just a thread that weaves together a person's past.
Well, yeah, true. And the military is a great generator of military service is a great generator of nicknames. And I think also something that Omar said there that you if your friends give you a nickname, it means that they've thought enough about you to feel that they should put a they're going to correct whatever inadequacy they perceive in the name that you were given at birth and give you a name that's more suited to you. One of my best friends when I was in high school, we called Hinckley. His real name was Howard, and teachers and parents called him Howdy, but his closest friends called him Hinckley, and that name was given to him by his older brother, and it was based on a character that Donald Sutherland played in the movie The Dirty Dozen. It was a sort of a moron convict named Vernon L. Pinkley with a P. But anyway, so they called Howard Hinckley, derived from that somehow. And we called him that all through high school. I still call him that. And in the group of friends, we referred to ourselves as the Hinklets, as though we were, I guess, a Motown girl group or something. And but it has a kind of power. It brings back that whole era. I'm sure he doesn't go by Hinckley in his financial advisor business. I'm sure he's Howard, a very serious name. But through high school and beyond, he was always Hinckley.
I suppose when grown men go by names like Hinckley in their business, they might end up seeming like someone out of The Godfather.
Right. I guess it would depend on what their business is.
Right. Well, thanks a lot for that call, Dave Omar from Galesville, and we go to Jill in Manitowish Waters. Hi, Jill, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling in for my dad. He's a retired teacher and got the nickname Bijou Bell because he used to show movies in class quite a bit, and got another nickname Wild Bill from one of his renters, which we got a big kick out of. And the other thing I want to say is, I always felt bad. I never got a nickname. I always felt like your guest said, it's a sign that people are, thinking about you. So I felt neglected. Anyway, thanks a lot. Bye.
Thanks a lot for that call, Jill. And I have to say, it's never too late to get a nickname. If you don't get one, maybe you can give yourself one. Do you think that ever works, David Owen?
Well, sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. I did succeed in getting myself called Dum Dum for a while, but it takes some ingenuity, I guess, and then some good luck. It's hard to tell where nicknames come from. Sometimes they just sort of pop up. We happen to have in the group of guys that I play golf with, there's a guy named Gene, and then another guy joined us whose name is also Gene, so we've been sort of trying on various nicknames for him, and one of them at the moment is Other Gene, but I think I think it makes him feel a part of the group, a welcome part of the group, to think that these, the other guys are sitting around trying to decide what they're going to call him. Being called Other Gene, he realizes that these people are his friends and that they're thinking about him. When my seventh grade math teacher called me Lloyd, getting confused with my father's name, I loved it. I liked it. It helped me make friends. I think just the fact that I had a nickname, it was something that people noticed, and then when they used it, it made me feel that I belonged. And I think that's one of the the appeals of nicknames. And you meet lots of people who say, I never got a nickname. Or, not just that I didn't get the nickname I wanted, but I didn't get one at all. It's a hard burden to bear.
It can be, I'm sure. I mean, and sometimes there are nicknames that you don't want. I know I have a friendly sort of nickname rivalry with our director of talk here, Cheryl Gasser, and we both have the most unpleasant nicknames for each other. And I would never let her, anyone but her, call me the nickname that she calls me, and I don't think anyone else calls her what I call her. But on the other hand, it also seems like an affectionate thing.
Are you going to reveal these names?
Oh, no. I would never want anyone to call me what she calls me. It was a bad high school nickname. It had some bad baggage with it, so... Yeah, it's not my favorite. It's a derivation of Veronica, I'll tell you that much.
Oh.
Do you have any nicknames that you won't reveal?
Let's see, that I won't reveal. I don't know. I have some that I didn't mention in my essay. When I was in, it must have been first grade, I had a friend who we called each other Gigi, and I don't know where that came from. But we used the same nickname for each other. And when I was in high school, when I hadn't decided that I was going to be a magazine writer, but thought that I might be a poet, I had a friend who called me Wilfred, after Wilfred Owen, the World War I era British poet. And then Wilfred became Wilfie, and so I think there's a Wilfie would be a hard nickname for someone to... if you said my nickname is Wilfie, it would be hard for them to work right. out all by themselves the etymology of that nickname and figure out where it came from.
And that's one of those 6 degrees of nicknames kind of things.
Exactly. I think those are some of the best. I really like those. The ones that are hard to trace back.
Let's take another call. Here's Rita calling from Westfield. Hi, Rita. You're on the air.
Hi. My husband and I raised a bunch of boys, and most of them, all of them, had Irish names, and Kevin, Brian. And my husband got in the habit of calling them Brianovich and Kivanovich, always added the vich on the end. And we had a dog named Sandy, and so she became Sandanovich. Well, I had a group of ladies over one afternoon, and they asked me what the dog's name was. And I said, Sandanovich, and they thought I said something else.
Oh.
Like S-O-N instead of S-A-N. So that got to be kind of a joke in our family.
That's a great one. That's very creative. I might have to incorporate that one.
Yeah, that's very good. Yeah, that was another one that would be hard to work out just with a pencil and a piece of paper to figure out, work your way back from what they thought it was to where it actually came from.
Well, we're going to take a little break right now and come back and hear more of your nickname stories as we talk nicknames, where they came from, and whether or not you like them. We're talking with David Owen, a staff writer at The New Yorker since 1991. His article, Call Me Lloyd, The Strange Power of Nicknames, appears in the February anniversary issue of The New Yorker. If you'd like to join in our conversation this morning, call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Veronica Rickert, sitting in today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. After 11:45, Larry Mueller's guest takes us on a deep-sea journey. He's legendary oceanographer Dr. Robert Ballard, who discovered the wreckage of the Titanic and is a driving force behind the Jason Science Education Project. That's Larry Mueller at 11:45 on Wisconsin Public Radio. Veronica Rickert sitting in this week for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking nicknames this hour with David Owen, who's a staff writer at The New Yorker. And his article, Call Me Lloyd, The Strange Power of Nicknames, ran in the February anniversary issue of The New Yorker. And Lloyd Owen, let's go back to the phones. Here is Jean calling from Boston. Hi, Jean. You're on the air.
Hi. Just caught the beginning of your show and talking about nicknames in high school and whatnot. And grew up in northwestern Wisconsin, and we had a phi ed teacher in high school. He was a high school phi ed teacher, and he always talked about official games, the official rules for volleyball, the official rules for badminton, the official rules for whatever game we were playing. And we gave him a nickname, and we found it on, of all things, a kicking tee, because... the little orange tees that you'd use for the kickoff of the football game, on the bottom it says, Boomer, official kicking tee. So we named him Boomer. He never did like it. Matter of fact, he damn near killed one of the kids who came into, a freshman that came into the class and says, "Hi, Boomer."
He should have been thrilled.
We were. Zai's got his biggest saucers, that's for sure.
That's a great nickname, and that was derived in just the way that a nickname should be. I think that's great. I just got an email just this very minute from a New Yorker colleague, Bruce McCall, who often does covers for the magazine and writes humor pieces. But he says that there were six kids in his family, and he was the only one who had a nickname, which was given to him by his older brothers. It was Nibbles. So I'd much rather be Boomer than Nibbles. I think if I were a teacher and a kid came in and said, "Hi, Nibbles," I might be upset. But Boomer, I would be proud of.
Nibbles sounds a bit hamster-esque.
Yeah.
Not bad, though. Here's Brandon calling from Oconomowoc. Hi, Brandon. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just calling because my grandparents, I'm the oldest grandchild and everything, and my grandmother's name is Louise, and I couldn't say the L, so I always called her Woo-Woo. And I mean, and then for some reason, I don't know where it came from, my grandfather's called Gaga now, and I mean, our whole family uses it. Even my fiance now calls him Woo and Gaga too.
I had a grandmother that I called Gaga, and I had a friend whose grandfather was called Gaga, and that always seemed strange to me, a sort of a unisex grandparent nickname. But it gave me always made me feel a little bit weird when he referred to his grandfather as Gaga. I have another New Yorker colleague, the cartoonist George Booth, whose father was named Earl Booth. His mother's maiden name was Irma Noreen Swindle. They both hated their names, Earl and Irma, and adopted nicknames for each other shortly after they started dating. And Booth's mother called his father Billy, and his father called his mother Bill. So they were Billy and Bill. Booth said he never thought anything funny about it. That's how he thought of them, Billy and Bill.
You know, I have to ask you, I find in my own life that I have trouble feeling close to people unless I have a nickname for them. Do you think there's something about intimacy in nicknames?
Oh, yes, I think that's true. I think that's very true. And members of couples will often have nicknames for each other that they don't even use in front of other people. I know I had a girlfriend in high school. We had a single nickname that we used for each other, but never in front of other people, and never revealed to anybody else. And I think it is a sign of a friendship or intimacy to have a name, you know, a unique name for somebody. I think it says probably that you feel that the relationship is you have a special name because the relationship is special.
It's a bit like a secret handshake sometimes.
Exactly.
All right, let's go over and take a call from Sarah in Marinette. Hi, Sarah, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I find it very endearing. My father has, I have three children, 5, 3.5, and 14 months. And every time one of them was born, he would sit and for the first few days just ponder, you know, what he felt was going to be an appropriate nickname for all of them. And my son is Wally, and it's very fitting. He's very soft and kind of nerdish, and you know, I don't know, Wally is kind of, not to offend, but it's just, you know, it just seems kind of a soft name, I guess, for him. My middle child that's 3.5 is a little girl. She is very adventurous. She's going to do it her own way, and her nickname is Chet, which makes me laugh uncontrollably half the time. And then my youngest is 14 months old. She's a redhead and just kind of saucy and sassy, and her nickname is Applesauce. So that they just, I don't know, I think it's very special, and I think those are names that I'll always, you know, if they don't follow with them through their lives, at least they will be in my heart, is what, you know, my dad called them. So,
what are their given names, their birth names?
The oldest is Aaron. Wally is Aaron. Chet is Emily. And Applesauce is Allison. So.
I love those. Those are great.
Yeah, those are good. I think those are nice. And yep, it means it's a special relationship between them and their grandfather.
Another example of sort of the bonding aspect of nicknames there. Hopefully
maybe also he's maybe also editing the names that his daughter, the formal names that his daughter had given them. It's his editorial comment on what their names on their birth certificates are.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for that call, Sarah. And let's take a call now from Anna in La Crosse. Hi, Anna, go ahead. Oops, I'm sorry, I've got the wrong name. Beth, is your nickname Anna by any chance, Beth?
It is now. We can call her Anna now.
No, but I have, you are reminding me, I have one nickname other than one from an old boyfriend, which I have solemnly determined never to tell anyone in the world. I have a friend, another artist, who, for reasons utterly obscure to everyone, I think including him, always calls me Carol. My name is Beth, but he calls me Carol. But the amazing coincidence is that one of my very dearest, most loved, favorite cousins' name is Carol. But how could he know? But I absolutely love being called Carol by him and the whole world. I come from people that always nickname, and I'm not quite clear whether it's the era or if it's the area, because my mother's people were coming up in northern Kentucky and southern Illinois. You know, it's, believe it or not, it's the northernmost of the Ozarks. And those people had more nicknames than you could chunk a stick at. I think I had an uncle whom I always addressed as Uncle Hanner. And I think his friends called him Hanner Bananer. but I never knew he had an actual given name until I was well into my adulthood. And I know I've heard others that they've used. I can't recall them right now. But my daughter, who is 20, has the most nicknames of any person I've ever heard. Maybe it's because she came late in my life and her father and I were making up for not having other children because she's the only one. But we started out calling her GBGB, which was before she was born. I think a lot of people do nickname their unborn children, mm-hmm. particularly before we would have access to know what the gender of the child would be. So that was for girl, boy. Then when she was born, we called her GB, and then it was Jeeber. Let's see now. I can go through the list. The Jeeb. Jeeberama, I think there was one of those. And then we moved over to Pookie and Claire Bear, because her name is Claire. And I think now she goes with her friend by Peaches. And I have a spouse now, not my original husband, her stepfather. We started calling him Higgs Boson several years ago. Because, yeah, you recognize that. That's the indeterminate particle in quantum physics. And that moved over to Higgsy or Mr. Bose. But I'm interested in the topic of nicknames people really don't want. I don't mean to be morbid about it, but when I thought, well, I asked the screener if she had a nickname, and she said, yes, I have several, but I don't want to tell anyone. And I had one in high school that I'm not going to repeat. It's not nice, you know. And I wondered about you know the shadow side of nicknames. Now that we've talked about all the fun ones.
Well, thanks a lot, Beth. Those are good questions, and I like the elaborate nature of your family's nicknames. There, some good stuff. And just to share one, you know, I have a friend named Elizabeth, not in the States, so hopefully she'll never hear this. But she's very nickname resistant. She hates the names Betty. For one, and I think there are many other. The only nickname she'll accept is Elise. So sometimes people are very particular about what permutation of their name they'll accept. Don't you find, David Owen?
Oh, yes, I think that's true. And the caller's right. There are nicknames that are cruel and that are hard for their recipient to bear. You don't want to be called by what people call you by. And I don't know what, you know, I think that if for the sort of borderline mean nicknames, the best strategy is probably just to sort of grin and bear it and adopt it with gusto as though, you know, it didn't bother you at all. But some of them are painful. And people don't like being called by what the people around them decide to call them.
Do you think people generally mind, you know, the classic one that comes to mind is a tall guy called Shorty, things like that. Do you think
right.
Do you think those tend to bother people?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I think that I think there are some nicknames that the recipients find boring almost. I think there's another tall people called Stretch, or people with red hair are called Red. I think that that probably gets pretty tiresome. And they don't, they're not sufficiently clever. I think that they, a nickname is, has to, there, it has to show some thought, and ideally, and or be a kind of a lucky accident, and in order for it to catch in people's imagination. And the idea, the best nicknames are the ones that begin to seem like the real name and seem like a better reflection of who that person is, not only to the friends but maybe to the person who bears it. It becomes a part of their identity.
Well, thanks a lot for that call, Beth. And here's a call from Carrie in Superior. Hi, Carrie, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment. I had a few nicknames, but my grandma and grandpa, they didn't like grandma and grandpa, so they wanted to be called Papa and Bubba, and that's what we called them. They called me Sweetheart, and my brother was Pal, and my brother and my sister was Buddy. My mother is regular grandma because there were too many grandmas on the dad's side and the mother's side and great grandma, so my mother is called regular grandma. She's just regular. We're going over to regular grandmas. And my daughter is named Peanut because she was my youngest, and I just always call her Peanut. Although she's 13 now, I can't call her that anymore. And the funny one that I don't know, she must like this name. She got it when we were kids. We played softball, and she was so slow running around the bases that her sister told her she's like a putt-putt. You're putt-putt around the bases. And she is now over 40, and she's still called Putt. And everybody knows Putt.
I love regular grandma. That's a that's perfect. It's so sort of boring sounding, but it's really, you know, it's clever and it sticks with you. I like that idea. My daughter, when she was very little, first called my wife's parents Man and That. Those were the names she had for them.
Man and That.
And then they sort of evolved into Grandpa and Grandma. But the first try was Man and That.
Those are good. Well, thank you, Carrie. We appreciate that call. And oops, here's Carrie in River Falls. Hi, Carrie, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm Akari.
Kari.
Our son has many nicknames. His dog has many nicknames. Our daughter, we hardly ever call nicknames, and we don't call her dog nicknames. So I just thought that was kind of ironic one day when I realized that on one side we make a lot of nicknames for them, and on the other side we don't. And then when our son was in high school, we called him G-Man. And at school, then, they called him G-Unit. And he's also very pale. He's a redhead. And so we call him White Boy because he's so white. And they called him White Fish. And so I just thought it was funny that they didn't know our nicknames for him, but they came up with similar nicknames for him at school.
That's interesting. Do you think in terms of your son and your daughter that it's a girl-boy thing, that we're more reserved about giving girls nicknames?
You know, I don't know. I've tried to figure that out. And that's when I discovered that we don't have many nicknames for her dog, and we have lots for his dog. So I hope it's not that, but it could be.
I think in my family, I think we have more nicknames for my daughter than we do for my son. So maybe it's not. Maybe it's just either an accident or something that somehow people's personalities have some effect on in some way on the readiness of people to make up names for them.
All right, well, thank you a lot for that call, Kari. And we have time for one more quick call. This is David in La Crosse. Hi, David, go ahead.
Hi. My nickname is Rudy because my last name is Rudrud, and I owned a bar in La Crosse for the better part of 20 years, and most people would only know me as Rudy, and the question that when they would come in and ask for me if the bartender should take them serious or not is if they knew my real name, which most of the people would not know. And any, you know, I would go out, go to Mall of America or go to Madison or wherever, and I would always see people that I would know, and they would always know me as Rudy. So it was, you know, I mean, it was great to have to be able to have a professional, a trade name, so to speak, where, you know, I wouldn't have drunk people looking me up in the phone book at 3 in the morning wanting me to come out and play.
That's a good one. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, David.
I think that's very good. It shows the utility of the professional utility of having a nickname.
Yeah, the it's professional like nickname.
It's like having two different phone numbers, you know, your work number and your home number.
Well, David Owen, it's been a pleasure to talk to you this hour. I'll be thinking about this for a long time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
David Owen, or Lloyd Owen, you can call him Lloyd if you want. He's been a staff writer at The New Yorker since 1991, and his article, Call Me Lloyd, The Strange Power of Nicknames, appears in the February anniversary issue of The New Yorker. Thank you to Carmen Jackson for producing that hour, and for Rhonda Fanning for production help and answering phones as well. I'm Veronica Rickert in today for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.